Revelation 13. So, more dragons. Last week we saw the fiery red dragon and his persecution of the Church of God, persecution of Israel, persecution of Christ. But we saw that the divine protection of God. If there's anything that you could get out of that chapter, it would be God's divine providence and protection for his people in spite of all that the devil could throw at him. And we see some of that here in this passage as well. But we do discover something, that the saints of God are not given an easy ride through life. We are not given that. We are not guaranteed it. The prosperity that God gives to his people does not mean without persecution. Real prosperity is to be walking in the Spirit of God. We may be stripped of everything that we own in this world, but we have Christ. The time of this writing, persecution in the Church of God, was rising. It rose to a great crescendo under Nero, as Christians were being burnt and persecuted and put in the arenas and chewed apart by lions. And so the early church knew suffering and knew persecution, and there were waves of it. It was only until about 300 AD when Constantine, so-called, became a Christian. It's kind of questionable whether he did or not, but at any rate, the persecution then eased. However, maybe the quality of Christianity went down because it became politically, if you were a Christian, you could go high up in the government. So it became somewhat corrupted at that time. But down through the centuries, there have always been Christians who have been on the persecuting end of things. We have not experienced much of that in our culture, society. A little bit of hard times by times, but nothing compared to what the rest of the world has experienced. We think this is the norm. This has not been the norm. We have been the exception to the rule, and that may disappear the way things are moving. But anyway, we'll come back to our passage here, and it says, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now this beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now the question again rises, as we have quite a few times as we've gone through this. Is this literally a beast that's coming up out of the sea like this in the world? Or is this apocalyptic language, figurative, symbolic? I will definitely move to the symbolic language. The description here, not that John didn't see this, don't misunderstand me. He saw this.
Yes, he saw this, but it's up to us to...
But it's representative, yeah. And what we see here, the seven heads. What did we say the number seven signified?
Pardon?
Completeness? Yeah.
Perfection.
Yeah. Seven and ten is also often used in that, not in the sense of perfection, but a full number. So you have seven heads. Now, heads are usually rulers, countries, authorities, and horns are usually power. They're a reference to power. You find that in the Old Testament as well. And in the book of Daniel. Some of what we read here you'll find in Daniel as well. And on his horns there were 10 crowns. And that's, again, rulership. So what we see here is the rising of a beast that has a great authority in the world. An authority that covers nations, That's why you see the 10 crowns. That covers power and rulership, we find, with the 7 heads. And it says, and on his heads there was a blasphemous name. So, when we see this rising up of this beast, we see this is power comes, of course, from the dragon, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So Satan then is behind this creature, whoever this is, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Satan is definitely behind this. He's the power behind the power. And we know that when it says a blasphemous name, I wonder what that could be. Any speculation? What would a blasphemous name be? What do you think Satan's plan is here, let's shall we say, in raising up someone with such power? What were the 3 powers that I said, and we're going to see some of those here, that the rise of the Antichrist will have, and that Antichrist, in a sense, anybody with a spirit of Antichrist strives to work with these powers. Do you remember what they were?
Financial
power.
Political
power.
Religious.
And religious power. Those are the 3 powers that rule the world in one form or another. Financial, religious, and political. They're the 3 powers. I don't think you can find a 4th one in a sense. They all are going to come under that umbrella somewhere. And Satan is not going to be content to deal with just financial and just political. He is not content with just that, because what is it that he asked of Jesus Christ when he tempted him? All these kingdoms, he showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. I will give all these things to you if you will what? Fall down and worship me. Satan is looking for worship, and that is the religious power, the religious authorities. He is looking to be worshipped. Because his heart of his rebellion is not to worship God, so therefore he worships self. I will lift up myself to be like the Most High. And really, when we look at this chapter, what we find here is this attempt to duplicate Christ. To duplicate, to be the alternative to Christ, really antichrist, but almost trying to be exactly the way what happened with Christ. And you see that in this passage. It is almost like a parallel on the dark side of an imitation of who Christ is. A feeble imitation in reality, but there is no question that this person has great authority. Now remember that Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Mm-hmm. And so umbrellaing, if there's such a word, all of this is the authority of Jesus Christ. Overall, his authority remains. He permits things to happen in this world. And the picture that he says here, I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. The question that comes from that, I wonder what the sea is here. You could say, well, it's a literal sea, came up out of the water.
People.
But the Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea that casts up mire and dirt. And so it is the multitudes of the people that caused the rise, that enables Satan, people who are in rebellion, people who are against God, who feed the monster, shall we say. The world feeds these monsters. The world elevates these things and pushes them forward and causes them to grow. And so when we see this, we see very likely that picture that's given there of the the troubled sea of the world, bringing forth the world's best, shall we say, or the world's worst. Depends on what your perspective is. On their perspective, this is the world's best. On God's perspective, this is the world's worst. The worst that the world can produce. We look at it from two respects. One, always this has been going on to some extent. Even now, John writes in 1 John chapter 2, are there many antichrists in the world? There always have been antichrists. It's not like there's just one antichrist that's to come. It seems that from Scripture there is the culmination of all of this, and I believe that's what this is expressing here. But the spirit of antichrist is already at work in the world. It's already been at work down through the centuries.
Since the fall.
Yes, but specifically antichrist would be manifested more in the New Testament because the Christ had not yet been revealed. So, yeah, the spirit of being against God was since the fall, no question.
Because the whole world is under the sweep.
Lies under the hands of the wicked one.
Before you're born again.
That's right. It's true. And so when we see this, it gives a description of the beast here. And the description, it says that the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like a bear and mouth like a lion. Now, you could have 1,000 interpretations on this. When I look at this here, I think of he's swift in what he does. He's determined like a bear. And that he is raging like a lion. What's that?
He's a predator.
Yes. The Bible says in 1 Peter that the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we're not talking about some, you know, he didn't say this beast was like, a dove and a, you know, an eagle. These are powerful predator type animals that we see here. And that could wreak havoc and destruction. And I think that's the picture that I receive from this here, that this is the type of creature that he is. And that even the title itself, a beast, speaking of the fact that humanity has been left behind, in a sense, where there's nothing left of humanity in this person. If this is an individual person, then this is a person who is absolutely holy against God and a raging, powerful being. The blasphemous name, I can't think of anything other than looking for worship, therefore declaring to be the Christ, declaring to be the one, declaring that this is the best that has ever been given. If you want to find God, this is it.
The great I am.
That's right. And that's what the I believe when it says a blasphemous name would be here. It would be the substitute for the Savior. Any comments? Questions?
I'm glad you're explaining it because every time I read Revelation, I tend to take things literally in a way, and you scratch your head trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Go deep enough to figure out the real meaning.
Plus, he knows his animals. A leopard will only hunt at night, but a leopard is also not a coward at night. He will come into a village and will tear down a wooden door to get to a person to drag them out.
Is that right?
It's interesting. Oh yeah, tigers are called gentlemen. A tiger will not tear down a door, will not come into a village, will not come in even if you have a fire going. But a leopard will, they are. I'm not afraid at night.
Vicious, yeah. Yeah, well, the devil's a god, in a sense, the ruler of the night, in that sense. The Bible speaks of the night, the darkness prevailing. Thank you.
I was wondering, Pierre, do you have commentaries or things like that that you think about those things? Yeah,
quite a number of them.
In deep, in depth.
Yeah, but many have different opinions. No. Yeah, it's not like a universal place, for sure. And so I, in a sense, I read what they say, but then I pray and I come to my own conclusion. So now I got my own commentary going.
The one thing I'm stuck on in our Elisigiva, when you said the three powers, one being religion.
Yes.
And I read, I think it was John Piper recently talked about universalism.
Yes.
And kind of taking over the world. And I think he said that they say that everyone is saved. Everyone is redeemed, including the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not uncommon now to universalism. It's a growing trend, for sure.
Right.
And people are gravitating to this.
Yeah.
And this can be definitely a vehicle for the... It is a vehicle for the devil to deceive people. And remember, a little later on, we're going to see that this creature is... there's going to be lying signs and wonders, which Matthew 24 says that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So we're entering into here in this passage of a time of great deception. And then one of his heads, as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. And so it almost seems here, you see mortally wounded means death, right? So we see a death and a resurrection here. You see that? You see, this is a duplicate again. Christ died and rose from the dead. Now we have a death and a resurrection on the evil side of things. Supposedly, it doesn't actually say that he was dead, but it says his deadly wound was healed. So it was, there was nothing, it looked like a complete hopeless situation, but suddenly there is, he lives. And this elevates to the place where all the world marvels and follows the beast. There's a declaration here. The miraculous has happened. If you want to look for a Christ, there's one right here, now, living. Did you see what he did? He is the one. He must be the one. And so they worshipped. But who did they worship? The dragon who gave authority to the beast. Mm-hmm. It's what Lucifer has wanted all along. Mm-hmm. He has a short time of it here now. Mm-hmm. They worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
Jesus
came. Again, you see the reflection of, like, there's a beast and another upper beast, like Jesus and God.
Yes, in the sense that there's a recognition that there's a power behind it,
mm-hmm.
and they would probably be thinking this is God, and this is God's Christ. This is the real McCoy. This is the real one. That Christ from way back there, that's nothing compared to what we have now. There's no question that we're dealing with mass deception in these areas. That people will worship. I mean, look, people are worshiping all the time. We were made to worship. If we do not worship God, we will find something to worship. Whether it's our car, or whether it's a hockey player, or whether it's a musician, it's no wonder that it's called American Idol. There's a reason for that. There are powers at work, even if people are, you know, benign in the sense that it's just a word to them, but it's an American idol, right?
It's an idol.
And so musicians are idols to people. Whatever it is, if people are going to worship, they're going to worship themselves, they're going to worship something. You don't have to go to the darkest part of some country where there is no civilization as we call it and find somebody worshiping a tree and saying, oh, how dark that is. My goodness, you don't have to go far to find people who are worshiping trees and worshiping cars and worshiping their money or their possessions or whatever it is. We were made to worship. We don't worship God, we will worship something else. And the devil is looking for that kind of worship. So he has his so-called Christ. And we see that the worship goes beyond just to the beast. But there is a spiritual element to this that is powerful enough that they are recognizing that there is a higher spiritual being, and they are giving credit and glory to him. And no doubt the beast is as well, this Antichrist. It seems as if it is a person, in the statements that is made, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him. That there will be a person who will have this kind of power and authority. The devil's been looking for his substitute for Jesus Christ. Finally, it looks like he's found him. His mouthpiece. And what is it said? He was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. There's that same time frame again. All seems to be meshed together in that time frame. Many commentators would say that 42 months is really a picture of the whole time of the Christian era. Some would say, no, there's a specific time at the end, that 3.5 years. It could very well be this is literally a 3.5 year period here, that this creature has such rule and such authority, this Antichrist, and that he's a great orator, giving a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. We found that he's been worshipped. We found that he was mortally wounded and resurrected or brought back, and that this is the condition that we see here. And so he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. So there's no question as to what his plans are. The enemies, the real enemies in the world, are who? The Christians. The real enemies. So he blasphemes against God. There's no question that the God of the Bible is not, he's not trying to say that they worship the God of the Bible. They have a different God. And this God is more powerful. This God is better. And that, so he blasphemes against God and his tabernacle. Now, what is the tabernacle of God?
His church.
Pardon me?
His church.
It's the people of God. We're the temple of God. That is clearly brought out in the New Testament. When it says his tabernacle or his dwelling place, we are the dwelling place of God. We are the ones that he comes against. And the interesting statement here, and those who dwell in heaven. That is, all the heavenly powers, all the angels, all the people of God who are already there, he blasphemes against them. That all of this has been a lie, that this is denies it, speaks ill of it, whatever it is that he can do. So it's this undisguised hatred and vilification of the church of God, God himself, and the ways of God. It says it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, who does the granting in this situation?
God.
Pardon me?
God.
God does. God permits it.
What is that verse here that says that it's paraphrasing, it's along the lines of, nothing's going to happen to you unless God allows it, or...
There's no temptation taken to you such as common to man? Is that the one you're thinking of?
Only reason I knew the answer to that question, because I could remember part of that verse, was it's just saying that even in the story of Job, where it was allowed to happen to Job only because God had permitted it to happen.
This is true. And also Nebuchadnezzar was forced for 7 years. He had his whole purpose of God humbling him, because he stood in the parapet and said, I've done all this with my own hand. Mm-hmm. And then the purpose of it was to say he might know that God rules in the kingdom of men. Yeah, that's true. So the Lord permits, he permits him to make war with the saints. And to what?
Overcome.
To overcome them.
It's only the physical that he's destroying.
Yes. Yeah. Fear not him who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. So there's an overcoming.
Amen.
As there is, and yet, in Romans 8 it says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That we are the overcomers. But the persecution of the saints is not something that we are excluded from. Jesus said we would experience persecution, that we would experience tribulation and trouble. So we ought not to be surprised at it coming. The hatred of the world to the church of God and the ways of God will grow. And as we see a universalism growing and all that comes with that, there'll be a united front against Christianity. And it's already growing in strides. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. Are we going to have a world ruler? It may be. If we're looking at an individual, it would seem that in this passage of Scripture, that this man would have that political, religious, and economic power. But in some respects, we know that the Satan has still, the whole world does already lie in the hands of the wicked one, and that he is already deceiving the nations and people. And already he's making war with the saints of God. And he says this, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him. But that, there's a caveat there. What is it?
What did you see?
A caveat. That means there's something else here. There's an exception here. All who dwell on the earth will worship him.
It's only those who belong to this world.
Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The true believers, whose names are written in the book of life, will not worship him. They will not worship him. But the world will. The world will worship.
So does that apply to verse 17? An authority, seven. To the saints and he overcame them. No, that's us. So the saints' names are in the book of life. Already.
Yes. Yeah, he will overcome them in a physical sense, but he will not enable them, he will not make them worship.
And you know already that overcome them means purely physical.
Yes, because here we see the fact that they are not worshiping him. He can only get those whose names have not been written in the book of life to worship him. The ones who are written in the book of life will not worship him. They do not bow before him. They do not give him that worship. They're owned by Jesus Christ. The preserving hand of Christ is the only hope any of us have of not turning and worshiping the devil. It is Christ. It is his mercy. It is his grace. It is not your fortitude. It is not your determination. It is Christ that will enable you to stand. That's very encouraging. Because you can imagine the kinds of torture that people have come up with down through the centuries to force people to recant or to turn.
Can I just read?
Do we find strength in ourselves? No. We find it in Christ. Okay, go ahead.
In Hebrews 11, just at the end, it said that others, as Christians, they were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half.
Yeah.
Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves. Over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised.
Very true.
Hebrews 11:26.
If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13:9 says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. What's that mean?
I have the ESV. It says, here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints.
Yep. But what about the leading into captivity? The ones who persecute the Christians will get their due. Be patient. Story's not over. Right? He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Right? They think that they're going to take people captive. He thinks he's going to rule the world. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, the story's not over. They were going to lose in the end. They think that they can go out and wantonly destroy, captive, and kill, but they will be captive and they will be killed. Does that make sense? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. This is the patience and the faith of the saints. They know who's going to win. They know who's winning.
This comes right after the verse just before where it said they will be overcome.
Yeah.
So is this I'm not asking if it's a contradiction, but the verse before said they will be overcome.
Who will be overcome?
The saints will be overcome.
Yes, up here. Up
verse 7.
I can't see it all together.
In verse 7, yes.
Verse 7.
But remember, Revelation 13:8 reveals to us that overcoming is only a physical overcoming.
Right.
And they may be killed. They may be leave this world, but they leave victorious because they did not worship. Right? The ones who belong to God did not worship that. But the patience of the saints is this. In the midst of the persecution, in the midst of being put to death, in the midst of being brought into captivity, remember, the ones who are leading you into captivity will be captive. The ones who are killing will be killed.
So it would just be that all are not overcome. It just sounded to me as if all physically were allowed to be overcome.
Well, it didn't say they were all killed. It says they were overcome.
Yeah.
So they could be in captivity. They could be tortured. They could be persecuted. They could be hiding in the in the caves or wherever. But they have no place in the society. They have no place in the world. But even if they were, it wouldn't change the truth of this verse.
Yeah.
What it says is that in the end, the ones who are doing the persecuting will be, they'll get their due. They'll get what they're giving. That's what this verse is saying.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoops, another beast. Imagine that. Wasn't one enough?
Yes.
I saw another beast coming up out of the earth.
The earth this time.
Yes. The sea the first time, the earth the second time.
Wow.
He had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon.
Well, a lamb's horns aren't very big.
What's that?
A lamb's horns aren't very big.
Yeah, well, a ram, when it's grown.
A ram, yeah. Longer.
And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Some have said that this is the devil's substitute for the Holy Spirit. That the devil's going all out here.
He is.
And that what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? He shall not speak of himself.
Jesus.
He shall testify of me. Jesus. What's this so-called ministry of this second beast? To glorify the first beast. To speak of the first beast, right? And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth and those who dwell to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
So we have a dragon and two beasts.
Yes.
Like the Trinity.
Three, like the Trinity. Yes.
The dragon is the devil himself.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's like the false Trinity.
He's a father. He's deceived. He's a deceiver.
Yes. He is.
Father of lies.
Yes. He is all of that.
But Jesus.
But you can see how the world goes after him. How goes after all that he has to offer. So he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So there will be great signs. Now remember, Jesus warned. He said that there'll be lying signs and wonders. If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. I'm so glad he said, if it were possible. He's using it in a statement to say they can't be, but if it were possible, they would be. In other words, it's going to be so deceptive, so well presented, the best show on earth, that people are going to be duped. They are going to fall for it hook, line, and sinker without the grace of God. Without being able to see what's behind these powers.
Well, it says that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light.
Absolutely.
And his workers too.
Yes, and his false prophets. This one, the first beast is generally referred to as the Antichrist. The second beast as the false prophet. The one who proclaims him. And so he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now we get a little bit of more of a picture. Wounded by the sword and lived. That there was an injury that was given to him. Perhaps he was attacked, whatever the circumstances. But it was... The devil can't settle for anything less than gross idolatry, so we have to make an image of the beast and worship him. Because not everybody could be in his presence at one time, but they could have an image set up in different parts all over the world where they would be worshipped. And again, in a general sense, all these things have been going on down through the centuries. In a general sense, the devil has been doing these things. The devil has been deceiving people. There's been false religions that show and manifest demonic powers that people are caught up into and swallow these things. They get experiences that are supernatural because demons are at work in the world. And they become captivated and drawn in. And they find themselves bowing down and worshiping idols, etc., etc. When the Moonies started, Sun Yun Moon, I don't know if you remember them, but it wasn't the hillbillies that went worshiping him. It was the college people. It was the most educated people in America that were following Sun Yun Moon and doing the most bizarre things in the process. It was incredible to see. If anybody has Netflix, if you got the stomach for it, watch Wild Wild Country and see what this Rajesh that came from India and set up a commune in Oregon and what went on. I lost my recording here for a second. The people could be so duped by a man who bought a Rolls Royce a day. And drove it through his compound, and all the people worshipped. A Rolls Royce a day.
Because he painted them in awful, awful psychedelic colors. He ruined about 30.
Yeah, he painted them in bizarre colors and everything. Some of them now are collector's items, yeah.
I think all of them are.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's called Wild Wild Country.
What year was that?
Huh?
What year was that?
Oh, let me think. 80s?
He's dead, huh?
Yes, he is. I think he is dead, yeah. He was in the 80s, I believe. 80s, yeah. Yeah. He pretty near took over the half of the country of Oregon. They tried to take over the political, the actual town, and then the county, and mm-hmm. yeah, it's amazing. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause as many as not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Almost takes you back to the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the time of Daniel. Remember, they were to make a golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, and at the sound of music, they were all to bow down, and if they didn't bow down, they would be killed. So whatever the...
But here it says the image can speak. The statue yes. can speak.
Yes.
But it says in the Bible that an idol cannot speak.
Well,
why?
You can make anything speak today. It's not hard. I can hold up a lamb and I can make it speak. But you could
this was a statue.
Yes, with technology.
Yeah, but there's no
statue. It says something in the image of.
My there it says my here it says
statue. Okay. Yeah, the versions are
different. It says that the statue could speak.
Yes, well, I mean, they've got statues that can bleed now. They've got statues that can, they can make a statue speak very easily, just using technology.
Yeah, but
also
it
could be technology, we don't know. But it could be demonic power as well, too. You know, it could be straight demonic power, it could be technology. The devil's not above using anything. Devil uses technology.
Oh, yes.
Whatever the circumstances, we know that this image of the beast will have great power and authority, and also will be able to speak, and will whoever doesn't worship him will be killed. So that's pretty straightforward. And then finally, he says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Did you notice that if you go through Revelation, you'll discover that God marks his own people? Remember, there was a seal put on the people of God, 144,000, which I believe is representative of the church of God. God seals his own. The devil's duplicating again. Now he's sealing his own with a mark. Interesting that it says the right hand or their forehead. What that means could be technology, Honora.
Yeah.
It could be simple enough, and I know this has been a lot of speculation about this electronic chip, how much easier it would be not to have a credit card, can't get it stolen unless they cut your hand off, but you have a chip inserted in here, it's tied to your bank account, you walk in front of the teller, it comes off your account, just like that. It could be, that could happen. Right, we have the technologies available to do exactly what is said here, where it wouldn't have been available in the first century, that's for sure. Where, you know, I might use a credit card, but I think if somebody wants to put a chip in me, I'll back off on that one.
Me too.
Yeah.
Come with me.
So, he says, and that no one, now we notice that this is actually for financial purposes, this is financial control, that no one may be able to buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
If you're not getting a chip, you have to live off the land.
I'm fine with that.
Now, people have gotten carried away with this, too. I know a couple who stashed food for this time, like freeze-dried food and tubs and everything, and a lot of it. And I don't even know if they're living now, but that was the big idea at the time, was get ready, the Antichrist is taking over. Our focus is not on those things so much as our focus is on the spiritual realities. A lot of the Christians will be killed, of course, during a time such as this. But here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. There's the 666. Number that's been bandied around for years, hasn't it? If 7 is perfection, and 3 is completeness in the sense of the Trinity, this is the completeness of imperfection founded in man, in the number 666. So this is the kind of control that we see. This is the kind of power that is going to be wielded, and in one sense, it already is being wielded by the Wicked One. The Wicked One controls the world systems of finance, religion, and politics for the most part. There's very little exception to the rule. And yet, God still reigns. God's people still will make it through. We will be the overcomers, no matter what oppression God permits us to be under. Though we are tried in the fire, we shall come forth as gold, because God is faithful, and our hope is in the Lord. But it's quite a chapter in terms of the rise of satanic power in the world. Quite a description of it. It might cause some to think, gee, I don't know if I want to have children and bring them into this kind of a world. But people could have said that back when Christ was born, because the Roman Empire was oppressing the Jewish nation. We know that all the firstborn children were actually killed by Herod and all of his wickedness. It could always be said in to some respect. But what do? We trust the Lord. We trust the Lord with ourselves. We trust the Lord with our children. We trust the Lord with our future. We trust the Lord with our finances. We trust the Lord with our life. We trust Him with everything, because He is the faithful one. He's still in control, no matter how much Satan sets up his system. He finally got what he wants, but he doesn't have it for long, as we discover. Yes.
How does this, I hope this isn't too far off the subject, but how does this reckon with the concept of the program that we told you we had, of the idea of being taken up? All these Christians think they're not going to have to be here, because they're going to be, I forget what it's called.
The rapture.
The rapture.
It depends on whose viewpoint it is.
How do the people who believe in the rapture deal with this section?
We're not going to be here. That's what they think.
But it addresses the saints.
Well, there'll be people who will believe after. This is what they would say. People will come to believe after the rapture.
And you did say that. You're talking about the speaker. Yeah. He did say that. That people will turn to the Lord after.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where these people would come from. These believers would be post-rapture believers. If you believe in a pre-trib rapture, which I don't.
You do. It's all right.
But I respect people who do, you know, just that I don't. So.
But I thought with the rapture that Christ ruled. I'm getting it all confused.
Yeah, well, if you're a pre-trib, pre-mill person, Christ comes, secretly snatches away the whole church, goes up to heaven with them for 7 years. And then for 7 years, all this havoc happens. And then he comes back and rules and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years.
So this would be in the 7 years?
This is in the 7-year period, yeah. So, a lot of them would say, well, you know, we're going to escape all this. We can read about it, but we're not going to be there for it. Right. Yeah. Now, my statement is we will be. I don't believe we're going to be secretly all taken away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like I said, there's differences in opinion on that. It hasn't happened yet, so. If I do get snatched up before, that's okay with me. But I think if we don't, a lot of people are going to be terribly surprised. Caught off guard, shall we say.
I often think these days that we're not a long ways away.
It seems that way. It seems that there's a lot in place for this to happen. The world is rapidly shrinking. It's rapidly coming to the point where the instant communication that happens now, that a one-world ruler, so to speak, has the means to be able to execute this kind of thing, whereas it just wouldn't be feasible even 50 years ago. But it's feasible now.